The best way to give advice is not to give advice. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. The best way to give advice is not to give advice. When Solomon said to the two women, "Whose son is this?" And they each said, "Mine." He said, "Okay, then if you are each determined that this is your son, and you each should have half of them." And they thought that was a wonderful idea, and that each should have half. And so he called the swordsman out, and he said, "Strike the boy in half." And the real mother said, "Oh, no, 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 no. That's not my son. That's not my son. That's her son. That's her son. I'm sorry." And Solomon knew who was the real mother, because the real mother was the only one who was able to let the child go. The other was a selfish being who was thinking only of herself and not thinking of the good of the boy or thinking of the good of anything else. Now, Solomon didn't give any advice. He just said, "Okay, you make your mind up what you're going to do, and then I'll act upon that." And they made up their mind, both the mother and the ersatz mother, and Solomon made up his mind. What's the best way to give advice? Solomon gave advice by very dramatic actions, and the people responded to it very quickly. Now, what would you do if you were greeted with such a decision? And what would you do if your child was missing from the hospital at birth, and you felt that this lady had stolen your child, and you felt that really was your child, and you wanted your child back? Now, and the other lady, she gave birth to a child, and she thought that was her child too, but perhaps the children were switched, and maybe they weren't. But the one lady knew that it wasn't her child. Now, how does she know that it wasn't her child? Well, let's just say it had a different color skin. That's not always really a telling thing, but it's a pretty good sample. And so she was claiming this other child. Now, both women were claiming the child out of motherhood. They were claiming the child because they had every right to expect that one of the children was theirs, that the child that they had was theirs. And the one woman realized that the child was not hers, that somehow the children were switched. Now, how you could switch a child with a different color of skin seems kind of unusual, but anyhow. How would Solomon have handled that particular one? Well, if Solomon were living today, he'd have a blood test taken and find out whose blood sample the child was like, and it'd be a clear indication of who the child was. But that wasn't in the day of Solomon, and that wasn't in the experience of many people. Many people do not have that facility to prove themselves by blood tests and other things. They don't have the facility to prove themselves in whatever they want to prove. And so they just have to go along. Now, what would the real mother have done? The real mother would have let the other lady raise the child and sent the child blessings all along the way and released the child to grow up, and taken the child that she had, who she felt was not really hers, and raise it like her own, giving it all of the genius and all the special love that she wasn't able to give to her real child. She'd give to this child. Now, would that be a benefit? Would that be a benefit all the way around? What is one of the things that we teach here at the University of Healing?
Unconditional love.
What is one of the things we teach here?
Non-possession.
At, what's that?
Non-possession.
Oh, non-possession. Oh, how interesting. Non-possession. Now, do you think non-possession would fit in that case?
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you be non-possessed? And that's really the test.
Yeah.
That's really the test. And how could you work with someone? How could you judge with them? How could you share with them to be non-possessed? And they say, well, you know how it is in yourself. You say, this is my hat, my coat. And many people have given me clothing. And they gave me their clothing. And it was always their clothing as long as I had it. I gave him my shirt. I gave him the shirt off my back. I gave him my shirt. When Stefan was at one of my seminars, he didn't have a clean shirt. So he borrowed one of my shirts, which was the only shirt I had, other than what I was wearing. And he wore the shirt. And, of course, he wore it, and it got dirty. And I don't know that I ever saw this shirt again, but he wore it, and he borrowed it. And here it is now 35 years later, and I'm still remembering that, you know. And isn't that interesting? We don't forget those things. And it really was significantly not important. It was not important at all. But you see, what was important? What was important, that it was my shirt. Now, if he had borrowed somebody else's shirt, I wouldn't have thought a thing about it, would I?
No, I would have forgotten.
Yeah, I would have easily forgotten, yeah. But you see, because we are so possessed by the things that we have, the little things that we have. Now, Herbert Marnie gave me a little Swiss knife, a blue knife, with a little flashlight in it and a little pen in it and so forth. Well, he took it right off of his key ring to give to me when I admired it. I said, wow, that's a neat one. I'm going to get one like that. And so he gave it to me. Well, when he gave it to me, the pen didn't work because it was out of ink. And I didn't know where to get ink for that. And the flashlight battery was almost burned down because he'd been using it occasionally, you know. Now, it's in my drawer now because it is not functioning. And thereby, my admiration should have been silent admiration. He really didn't give it to me. He still has it, even though it's in my hands. It's, Herb, how do you like my flashlight? You know? Herb, how do you like the flashlight I gave you? How do you like that? You understand?
Yeah.
And this is what we do. We're not unusual for doing this. We are stupid for doing it, but we're not unusual. But when we do that, what we're doing is we're limiting ourselves so much. Now, how can we learn how to give guidance? How can we learn how to give advice or give judgment to people? I was talking to Gregor on the phone, and Gregor was saying, well, now, what do I do? What do I do about this, and what do I do about that? And I say, well, I said, the best thing for you to do is just pretend that everything is in divine order. Just pretend that everything is going along smoothly. Just pretend that all is in wonderful working condition. And he said, you always give that advice. And so then Rochelle spoke to me on the phone at one time. And after she got off the phone, Gregor said to her, well, what did Herb advise? And Rochelle said, to love myself and to love everybody in my world. Well, that's exactly what I told you. And she says, yes, I know that's exactly what you told me. You know, because Herb was your teacher. And you have that same. But from Herb, it was okay. From Gregor, it wasn't okay because Gregor is the husband, you know. And that's understandable. Very understandable. Now, how do we advise others? We don't. We say to others, just imagine, if it's about the wife and husband, just imagine where you would find another wife as wonderful as yours? Mm-hmm. Where would you find another woman on the face of the earth as good looking as you? I was thinking of saying this here, and now it's come up to my attention again. Gregor was saying that his wife is such a genius at everything she does. And then he made this remark, which I thought was something interesting. He said, you know, my wife is such a genius in everything. She teaches volleyball, she teaches this and she teaches that. But when she plays volleyball, her hand touches a volleyball and the volleyball doesn't know it. Her hand is so surrounding that ball, her hand is so master of the ball, that the ball does whatever she wants it to do, and she really is hardly touching it at all. She's not going a slam bam on the ball, you know. She's just going gentle, so lovingly, that the ball just, by the very caress of her hand, does what she wants it to do. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful thing to say about your wife. What a wonderful thing to say about someone you love very much. And isn't it wonderful if all of us could have a hand that caressed everything, that caressed our volleyball when we played it, that caressed the baseball, caressed a child, caressed a husband or wife? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that ability? We do. Mm-hmm. Now, when we begin to exercise that ability, that we love everything we touch or think about or see unconditionally, then we are giving the best advice in the world. And what is that advice? It is example. Now, are you ready for being an example? Living an example? Sharing yourself as an example? If you are, then wonderful things will happen in your world. And if you're not, wonderful things will happen too. But somebody else is going to have the joy of making it happen. Think on these things. We never give advice, but we are a living example of our values and what we believe. So as you are a living example of your values and what you believe, your world will be a living example of what you believe about yourself. It's very wonderful and very beautiful. But the thing is, can you do that for yourself? And the answer is yes. Do you want to do it for yourself? The answer is yes. Can you touch the ball as though you were having a mad, passionate love affair with that ball? Just so gently caressing it, just so gently holding it, that the ball wants to do what you want it to do without any threat, without any pressure, without any violence, you know. Mm-hmm. Just with a loving movement. You know, you look at Tiger
Woods,
and you look at Tiger Woods, and you see how he takes the ball and puts it where he wants it to be. But he takes the ball, if you ever watch him, really watch him closely, he takes the ball as though it is a loving kiss in his hand, and he takes his club and he cups the club around that kiss and sends it right where he wants it to go. It's a magic way. It's almost like Rochelle and her loving touch to the volleyball. How wonderful it is for us when we can be so in love with ourselves and our world that we have a love affair with our sport games too. Have a wonderful evening, and know that I love you eternally.
Thank you.